Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, and happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for November the 18th in the year of our Lord 2021. This is our one of two. And our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest, I mean the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. Our website, libertyroundtable.com. Our nationally syndicated radio network, lovingliberty.net. Around the clock, incredible talk show hosts. Check out the lineup at lovingliberty.net. And while you're there, if you have the heart to help, donate liberally, would you please? And remember, we have a live and on-demand phone app available for you at lovingliberty.net or your favorite, smartphone store? That's right, Android or Apple stores. Go there, look for the Loving Liberty app. When you download it and install it, it's free. You got live and on-demand radio at your fingertips that way, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to any show live and or at your own time, whenever you want. You can also follow us on Twitter and keep up on what's going on with what we're tweeting, relating to the talk shows, headlines, and a whole lot more. You can donate. You can provide feedback. It's all available at your fingertips at lovingliberty.net. Without further ado, a recap of yesterday's show does make sense. It all starts now. Kyle Rittenhouse trial. Jury deliberations enter second day as Kenosha waits for the verdict. They say it might go bad either way. Poor jurors. Doesn't matter what they do. They're politically pressured big time as there's clashes outside the court and everything else, ladies and gentlemen. It's disaster, ladies and gentlemen, in my opinion. Trial going on and scary, right? Kyle Rittenhouse supporters and protesters, they say, clash outside the courthouse. We also talked about the FBI admits that it does not track leftist violence. That's right. The FBI does not track leftist violence, townhall.com, just right-wing violence. What the heck does that mean? Isn't violence violence? How does violence know if it's left-wing or right-wing? Huh? Oh, it doesn't, does it? All right, I see. Oh, you mean you make an inference of those committing the violence. If they're left-wing, then we're going to ignore it. It's okay. The end justify the means. If it's right-wing, then we're going to... Oh, so violence has a reality check based on its, motivations? Its intentions? Strange, ladies and gentlemen. When I was a kid, violence was a no-no. Peaceful, kind, respectful behavior to others was the goal, the ideal, the solution. What a tragic reality we face today. By the way, they say during the misnamed Summer of Love, for example, riots, looting, vandalism, political violence was carried out by radical leftists under the often liberal Antifa and Black Lives Matter banners. The violent leftists besieged federal property, private businesses, law enforcement agencies, and private citizens with costly, deadly, and devastating outcomes. But that didn't matter much. The FBI doesn't even track that. That's a summer of love, don't you know? Just taking over cities. It's just insane. Prosecution, ladies and gentlemen, got caught lying in closing arguments in the Kyle Rittenhouse murder trial. Mike Landry with the story of the Epoch Times. How did the prosecution lie? Well, the judge ruled that we're not going to say that he had an illegal gun. Well, then in their closing arguments, even after that ruling, throughout the gun charge, they literally said he had a gun that he knew he was not supposed to have. So they lied. I guess they didn't, no harm, no foul in those kind of lies, I guess. The left can lie and get away with it. The right gets barbecued every time they lie. I think lying's bad no matter who lies. Just like I think violence is not good unless it's self-defense, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we talked about this incredible city, Oroville, California. declares itself a constitutional republic, stops enforcing states' tyrannical mandates. Abby leaving the Western Journal with that piece. I don't know if the city is a constitutional republic in and of itself, but I know this, they have every right to push back and tell the feds they don't have any jurisdiction. Go look at Sheriff Mack's Supreme Court case win to prove that point. All right, we talked about 12 more states announce they are suing the Biden administration to block the vaccine mandate for health care workers, arguing the mandate is unconstitutional and violates several laws. They call them several federal laws. That's kind of scary. Sometimes you don't know what a federal law is, right? Who makes laws, ladies and gentlemen? Oh, the legislative body does. Good point, yeah. So you mean when Joe Biden tries to make a law, it doesn't count because it's illegal? Yeah, that's what we're saying, ladies and gentlemen. And that is the point of the lawsuit, that now what we're saying is about 27 states are pushing back in lawsuits. Now, I don't believe a lawsuit's the best answer, because you make these rogue thugs, these very few rogue thugs, the most powerful people in America. That's bad news. I think we ought to nullify now. I think that's the real answer. But they say attorney state generals from Alabama, Arizona, Georgia, Idaho, Indiana, Louisiana, Mississippi, Montana, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Utah, and West Virginia, they all announced the suit, ladies and gentlemen. So in my opinion, that's good. I think there's better ways to go about it. I don't know why these states are asking the federal government for permission, but there you have it. That was hour one of Liberty Roundtable Live yesterday. Hour two, we had James Edwards with us, doing a great job. ThePoliticalCesspool.org, his website. Incredible award-winning weekend talk show discussing race, politics, and hypocrisy in the 21st century. And that show is available Saturday night live. Well, on Saturday nights, and it is live. Right? During the week, anytime, it's on demand at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Anyway, James Edwards has listened to virtually the whole trial. What trial am I talking about? The Charlottesville trial. Yeah, they say a video from the Charlottesville trial shows Rich A. Hamlin being punched by a protester. Now, I guess what happened is that Rich had a flag. Somebody tried to take his flag from behind. They grabbed the flag. Rich grabbed onto it even tighter. And I guess it hit the person, and then they claim that that person then retaliated to Rich, starting the melee. I mean, it's just dishonest as all get out, ladies and gentlemen. I hear Rich did a great job on the stand, and I personally believe the nine groups, 24 defendants in this case are in trouble, because the prosecution has literally millions of dollars. The media has literally quadrupled down against anybody who stood for the statues, stood for the maintaining and protecting of our history via the statues. All is violent. And all the liberals, all the extremists, all the Antifa, all the Black Lives Matter, all the violence from the left just dismissed. The media's had that narrative from the get-go. And right now the conservatives or the right side's on trial. The left side, see, the Hegelian dialectic is disaster. Anyway, the bottom line is even the FBI doesn't track the criminal activity on the left. So there you have that. It's a sad tale to tell. We also covered a little bit about the trial and the killing of, how do you say this guy's name? Ahmaud Arbery in Georgia. And we talked about how all these cases, whether it be the Rittenhouse trial, whether it be Charlottesville, whether it be Ahmaud's case, all these cases came about at different times, but every one of them really points the finger at white males. They're all supremacists, they're all racist, they're all haters, they're all evil. That's the narrative of the mainstream press in bed with your government, the FBI, who doesn't track violence on the left. So just make sure if you're going to commit violence, ladies and gentlemen, make sure it's left-wing violence, okay? Now, how do you do that if you're a white male? I don't know, because you're in trouble. And you're on the bottom of the totem pole in America now. You're the cause of all problems, and the abuse of you is the solution for all future problems, right? It's just dishonest, ladies and gentlemen. I reject the left-right paradigm altogether. I think it's totally bogus. To me, violence is violence. Evil is evil. Good is good. Thanksgiving 2021 is here, ladies and gentlemen, as you know. But with it, they say there's a turkey shortage. Get your turkey today, baby, or you may not even get a turkey at all. Grandmother accidentally invited a stranger to Thanksgiving. So she texted, made a mistake in the number, and she texted some guy, some random stranger guy. And he writes back and he says, "You're not my grandmother, but you know what? Is there a plate for me at Thanksgiving dinner?" And she said, "Yes, of course, we're Christians." So she realized her mistake, but she invited him anyway. So she accidentally invited him, if you will. But years later, he's still a welcome guest at Thanksgiving dinner. That just goes to show that kind people can reach out, that good things in America do happen, despite all the rhetoric, despite all the anger, despite all the frustration, despite all the confusion, despite all these things going on in America. There are good people doing good things, ladies and gentlemen, all over the country. And we hope to document more and more and more of it as we call for civility. By the way, that's a website I created, callforcivility.com. You can read the mission statement. You can take the pledge. You can help us raise money. We're going to try for a clarion call for civility, speaking tour, and a whole lot more. So that's all coming up, ladies and gentlemen, over the next days and weeks and months and years, right here on Liberty Roundtable. As society gets more and more divided, more and more hostile, we're going to promote more and more civility and kindness and respect and appreciation. That's how we roll, baby. And that's a recap of yesterday's broadcast, still available at libertyroundtable.com and lovingliberty.net. News the networks refuse to use starts in seconds. Two guests live in the roundtable today. I am Sam Bushman.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com. and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, live and on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman. Hard-hitting talk starts now. Eldon Stahl with me, field coordinator for the John Birch Society, JBS. JBS.org, one of their websites. TheNewAmerican.com, another one of their award-winning websites. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir. All right, we'll try to get Eldon back. In the meantime, Brian Rust, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Well, glad to be with you, Sam.
There's so much going on in the news. It is shocking, my friend. Let's do the honest money report first. Where's gold looking?
Gold's at $1,864.50.
$6,450, okay.
Silver's $2,495.
$24.95. Where does that mean in relation to where it's been?
Well, it was last week. It was about 30 cents higher, 50 cents higher on gold, 30 cents higher on silver.
All right. Roughly. So slight change. Where are we at on some of the other metals? People track rhodium and such, right?
Yeah. Rhodium's $400 higher.
Wow.
Right. Kurtzer. Rhodium.
And that's good news, at least for some.
Yeah.
By the way, what do they use rhodium in? Just so people understand, what do they kind of use that for? Really?
Well, it's a material that withstands heat and burns clean, kind of for environmentalists. Same with the platinum palladium kind of scenario there. So, yeah, they're saying some of that rhodium kind of in some of those automobile, pollutant areas there where it would soak in or absorb the bad particles that would go out into the air. So
all right, I got awesome news for you, buddy. You used to want to go to the Staples Center in Los Angeles to watch basketball games and such like that, right?
Oh yeah.
Everybody wants to do that, don't they, Brian? Well, buddy, according to the New York Times, you can't go there anymore, man.
Oh, man.
You want to know why?
What happened?
They're going to rename that well-known icon, buddy, according to the New York Times. Guess what it's going to be called?
Biden's Hall of Fame.
Woo! No, not quite, but close.
Oh, okay.
I always tell you to don't dip your toe in the crypto, but now, ladies and gentlemen, the Staples Center in Los Angeles to be renamed crypto.com.
Okay.
It's called the crypto.com arena, Brian.
Wow.
I'm not joking.
That's what? Is that right? All right.
The rebranding will take effect on Christmas, buddy. Merry Christmas to you, bro.
That's awesome.
I kid you not.
Is it a block? Is the icon a block, kind of a blockchain theme? It's a new structure. They could make it maybe fairly interesting. Sci-fi.
Yeah,
type,
they could show someone getting hacked. Be like a digital mugging kind of a thing.
There you go.
Wow. Eldon Stahl, welcome back, brother.
Thanks. Hope you can hear me now.
Oh, we can hear you. Fantastic. What do you think, though, man? You can't go to the Staples Center anymore. You got to go to the crypto.com arena, buddy.
Well, I don't know. At least they're not calling it the paperclip arena or whatever they could think of. It's just, I don't know. I've never been there anyway.
Well, you got to go there now, man. You can't miss. It's a 20-year agreement, gentlemen. What do you think of that, Brian? It's a 20-year deal.
Yeah, that's so do you need some kind of a crypto card type thing to access the building?
I don't know, but I have a suspicion that what they'll do is when you buy tickets, you can buy your tickets in crypto.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah, because, rich dudes have a lot of crypto and they want to, go ahead and buy tickets. Just imagine. There's a crypto.com arena. No, sir, we don't take crypto.
Yeah.
Putting that, Eldon.
That would be pretty ironic, wouldn't it?
It would be. People would start to riot in the streets in L.A. about that. Don't they like to just riot over everything, Brian?
Yeah, there's things that are going on that you just shake your head continually.
All right, now check out this next story that goes along with the Crypto Center pretty well, in my opinion. Here's the headline. Police. So the police are telling us this, okay? Teenage thief got $36 million in cryptocurrency. They call him a Canadian scammer. And he intercepted what they call an authentication request, investigators say. And he got a bunch of cash, buddy. So everybody wants you to believe, don't worry. The cryptocurrency stuff is safe. It's good. The blockchain, it's transparent. Well, this dude somehow got in the middle of an authentication request, and he walked away with $36 million, Brian.
Well, I thought that was the most, you know, safe haven investment where you can't really see it. It's not out there. It doesn't, you know, it's I don't know. I guess it's not quite as safe as we thought.
Now, here's what I find fascinating about this. Officials called this one the largest cryptocurrency scam involving one person in Canadian history, buddy. Now, they won't tell you the age of the teenage thief because, of course, he's a minor, so you can't, you know, like, really get the minor's name.
Mm-hmm. Now, he's a minor. He's mining quite a bit.
Yeah, for sure. A bit minor there.
He's figured it out.
I like
huh?
that. That was good, man. Now, they say, now this is also interesting, the investigation included the FBI and the U.S. Secret Service, gentlemen, in Canada for this teenager.
Okay.
Yeah. What do
you
think
we got to
get
involved? The U.S. has got to be involved? Is that what we're saying? We've got to, it's kind of, Canada doesn't have their own, I don't know. I don't know what to say, tell you the truth. It's very interesting.
Yeah, the U.S. has to be available everywhere, sir.
Okay.
Yeah.
That could be why a lot of these countries hate us, maybe.
Yeah, so I find that fascinating. They say the lack of two-factor authentication was the problem. So when you guys all show your frustration about that two-factor, just know that this teenager, man, was able to get in the middle of it all and get a bunch of cash. Teenage thief got $36 million in cryptocurrency. An official called it the largest scam, the single scam in history. And the investigation included the FBI. And I just look at that and I go, what on earth? I don't understand how the FBI and the Secret Service would be on top of this one. I mean, they're running around just attacking white supremacists everywhere. They can't. All the racists, they can't go after this teenage guy in Canada, can they? Man, they can go after anybody they want to. How can they never go after all the deep state criminals, Eldon?
I suppose it depends on what this guy's politics are. You know, if he's a conservative, they'll go after him. If he's a liberal, maybe not.
What do you think of that? What do you think of that, Brian?
Yeah,
the left,
good point.
The FBI literally says they don't track left violence, only right violence.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I had an instant situation where I had a group bringing in these counterfeit coins. This has been a number of years ago and so on. And so I called the FBI or this, you know, agency that's supposed to be looking into that. And they said, yeah, we can't do anything about any of that. Oh, so they can just kind of print their own money and you don't seem to worry. Yeah, we can. Okay, well, I'll just tell these people, keep doing what they're doing. I just can't take it, but maybe somebody else can. Just sounds, yeah, it was ridiculous. I thought,
but
okay,
still said, hey, they may not do anything about it, but I'm not taking these, right?
Yeah, I don't want it because I kind of, you know, I went to school for counterfeiting, so I just say, okay, well, I'm not taking it, but boy, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to take it. And we're seeing more and more of that. I mean, it's all these promotional things on TV and buy this and that and the other. I had a person in just yesterday, actually, with some things, and he thought it was gold. It was interesting. He only paid $19.95 for an ounce of gold. I said, oh, so that didn't catch you. You know, the price didn't catch you at all. You just thought it was a good deal. But yeah, I just think, okay, well, it's fake. And so, but yeah, so it
may be fake.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow. All right, hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Eldon Stahl, field coordinator for JBS.org. Brian Rust, RustQuittingGift.com, and yours truly. Continue in seconds on your radio.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Thank you. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Kyle Rittenhouse's attorney asked the judge on Wednesday to declare a mistrial, saying prosecutors withheld evidence from them. Apparently it was drone footage from the night of the riots, and they received a technically inferior copy of the video from prosecutors. Day three of jury deliberations continues Thursday. In another high-profile case, Travis McMichael, along with his father and a neighbor, are on trial for murder in the killing of Ahmaud Arbery. Prosecutors say the killing was racially motivated.
He had my gun. He struck me. It was obvious that he was attacking me. That if he would have got the shotgun from me, then it was this is a life or death situation, and I'm going to have to stop him from doing this, so I shot.
The February 2020 incident happened in Brunswick, Georgia. That's about an hour's drive north of Jacksonville, Florida. USA Radio News.
COVID is spiking again, and it's just not clear how to keep your family safe. Fever is the leading symptom of COVID, and the only way to reliably detect it is with an accurate thermometer. Be vigilant and be accurate with the Exergen Temporal Scanner, whose accuracy has been proven in more than 100 clinical studies. Don't rely on non-contact thermometers. They are proven to be inaccurate and will not reliably detect a fever that might mean COVID. Learn more at Exergen.com.
Exergen is changing the way the world takes temperature.
From city streets to back roads. From road warrior to carpooler. There are some things you can always count on. Like the reliability, durability, and power of DieHard, America's most trusted auto battery. No matter where your journey takes you, count on DieHard to get you started on the road ahead. Available at your local Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest stores.
John Deere striking union employees have approved the company's latest contract offer, ending a month-long strike. United Auto Workers, which represents the 10,000 workers from a dozen Midwest Deere and Company factories, announced Wednesday night that its members had voted 61% to 39% in favor of the deal that includes an $8,500 ratification bonus, an immediate 10% increase in wages, with further increases over the next 6 years. Manhattan District Attorney Cyrus Vance Jr. has announced two of the three men convicted of the 1965 killing of civil rights leader Malcolm X will soon be exonerated or cleared of the charge. After a 22-month investigation, the DA found that authorities withheld evidence in the trial of Muhammad A. Aziz, 83 years of age, and the late Khalil Islam, who died in 2009. Both men spent over two decades in prison for a crime they vowed they never committed. Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit us online at usaradio.com. We are USA Radio News.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Brian Rust, RustCleaningUp.com with us. Eldon Stahl, field coordinator for the John Birch Society, JBS.org, TheNewAmerican.com with us. We're talking about honest money. It is your honest money update, ladies and gentlemen. Gold, $1,864.50. Silver, $24.95. A Silver Eagle, silver dollar, they'll still cost you, what, $35 or so, Brian?
36 and a half.
Whoa, $35. Won't even get it none anymore, ladies and gentlemen. They call that inflation, the hidden tax, abusing everybody based on their dishonest, unconstitutional money. You ask why we have the problem, and they want to tell you, oh, it's because of the cocoa. Or they want to say it's because of the supply chain. And they lie, and they give you all these downstream effects of dishonest money. They don't really point to the real cause, which is, hey, we've jettisoned constitutional currency a long time ago, and now we got a fiasco going on. Fake monies always destroy civilized moral societies. They always have, and they always will, and we somehow in America think we're different, but we lie to ourselves right on down and continue to drink from the economic bottle of false prosperity, and therefore the whirlwind shall come. I know it'll come, I just don't know exactly when. That's the problem with the discussion. Then they say, well, you don't have credibility if you say when and you're wrong. But then if you don't tell them when, they say, well, how do you know? Well, because that's just been the fate of every other country on the face of the planet that's ever done it. So I have this suspicion that it'll happen again as history repeats itself. And there you go. Anyway, the Staples Center in Los Angeles now to be renamed to Crypto.com Arena. And a police say a teenager got $36 million by, what do you want to say, hacking crypto, intercepted on authentication request, and made off with the cash, got busted. Now, I got a question, Brian. If crypto is so transparent, so secure, so in your face, the blockchain is just evident and there for everybody to see, and the software is all open source, so everybody knows what's going on and everything else. Number one, how did that happen? And number two, how were the cops so on it they just busted them? I don't get any of that. At least if what they tell you is true, Brian.
Perhaps it's not so transparent. I mean, it's.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they say it's, you know, that, you know, you just can't, you know, get into it. It's going to be the safest way to control. But I think, I mean, it's like anything. I mean, it's manipulating in any field. I mean, we were last week alone, we saw this gold price manipulation on the gold market through all these people that are being investigated or facing charges. And it's the same way with that. I mean, if you think it's just out there and no one's going to know about it and so on, well, we're seeing the effects of, okay, well, that's probably not true. And, and so I think there's the wicked are still wicked and continue to, you know, those that want to take away people's money are going to be scamming to do that. Right. And every day it happens, I guess, our identity and everything else. So.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen.
Sure.
Now, I got an interesting another twist for you that I find fascinating. Do you know who Satoshi Nakamoto is, Eldon?
Doesn't ring a bell.
All right, do you know, Brian?
Is that the Bitcoin guy that created?
Yes, sir. Roger that. Well, kinda. It's the what do you want to say? Alias. For the unknown Bitcoin creator, don't you know, my friend?
Okay.
All right, so they say Bitcoin creator, Satoshi Nakamoto. Okay, so that's the name of this unknown character, but we put a name to the person, okay? Why we think they're Japanese or whatever, I just don't know, but there you have it. Now, they say that Satoshi Nakamoto could be exposed in a Florida trial. What do you think of that? Now you literally got a court case going on. And, of course, since you can subpoena people and get evidence and everything else, they say you might have an exposing going on here, Brian.
Yeah, well, man, that's so his identity is might be in jeopardy, huh? Could be exposed.
I guess so. I just
there
think it's
go.
Weird wow. as all get out. So we got this name, but it's not the real name, but the real. The real Slim Shady. Will you please stand up, Brian?
Yeah, that's right.
What the
we turn it into that game show, right? We put three of them on the. Yeah, okay. Now that's entertainment. So maybe people are going to tune in and watch that.
So this is the transparent currency that everybody is supposed to jump on board with, and we don't even know the real name of the creator of it.
Well, yeah, but so what? It's open source and transparent, and everybody knows, Brian. I mean, Eldon.
Yeah.
I don't know what everybody knows, but they know. You got it?
It sounds like Q, you know, trust the plan. What plan? You know, just trust it. Just trust the plan, okay?
Wait a minute. It's like Q. Wow. You kind of wonder if Q got the idea from Bitcoin. Let's be just totally in the know. Total in the open, totally transparent, but nobody knows who we are.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
I just find that interesting. So I don't even know who this Bitcoin thing is or what. It just doesn't make any sense to me at all. Right?
Entertainment.
I mean... Sashi, and why do they put a Japanese name, though? Is that, like, racist to assume it's got to be some Japanese smart person that created this? It can't be, I don't know, anybody else. And this is according to Fox Business. Bitcoin creator, Florida lawsuit, Fox Business there. Now, I wonder why they haven't exposed the Bitcoin creator already? I mean, can't the internet?
He lives in Florida.
I don't know. Well, I don't know. There's a lawsuit in Florida.
Oh.
Now, okay. I don't know if he lives in Florida or not.
Okay.
Right? But what I find just so fascinating about this is, doesn't the internet, whenever there's like a secret, the internet, they say, the black hats went to work and exposed so-and-so. Why can't they do that with the Bitcoin creator?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's just the weirdest thing ever. Yeah, I know what you need to do. You need to be into a blockchain marketing company. That's what you got to do.
That's probably next. That's probably the next big thing.
I mean, I don't even understand what this all means, Brian. And I don't mean to make fun of it. People would say, well, Sam, just because you're ignorant. But I don't even know what that all internalizes to mean. So they got this big old lawsuit that's unfolding in Florida. They say a family of a deceased man sues his former business partner for control of their partnership's assets. In this case, the assets in question are a cache of about 1 million bitcoins. And it's like worth $64 billion today. Owned by the creator of Bitcoin, the pseudonym Satoshi Nakamoto. And the family of the deceased say that he and his business partner, Nakamoto, is entitled to half of the fortune. One of the lingering, quote, mysteries in the financial world has been the identity of Satoshi Nakamoto. Does the name refer to a single person, they say, or does it refer to many? And why did this guy not receive a penny of the, quote, partner's fortune? The answers to these questions, ladies and gentlemen, are central to the dispute in Florida and to the Bitcoin itself. It's grown into a, quote, trillion-dollar market with tens of millions of investors, and governments are challenged with trying to regulate it, and it was approved by some. They said the technology behind it was seen by some as a way to, quote, rewire the global financial system there. Who created it remains a mystery, don't you know? What do you think of that, Brian?
Well, it's interesting to, you know, I don't know if there's, it seems like always if there's corruption or evil or things like that, Ponzi schemes or all these things, they don't go on forever. And so they usually collapse, or the evil shows its face. It's sin. I say sin shows its face eventually. So, I mean, it's, you know, and perhaps this is what's unraveling is there may be corruption or manipulation or all that stuff. I mean, we see it every day in our metals, our stock exchange, our markets, and all this stuff. And eventually it shows its face. And so perhaps that's what's happening here.
I heard that. They say David Claymans is the guy that died, and his family is suing his former business partner, a guy by the name of Craig Wright. Now, Craig, 51-year-old Australian programmer, living in London, Mr. Wright claims that he's the one that developed Bitcoin, but the online community says, no, you didn't. Okay. Hey, I think Brian created Bitcoin. I'm just saying. Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Liberty Roundtable live in seconds.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. So the battle's on. They might get to the truth in Florida as the, quote, jury will have a rough time trying to discover who the real Bitcoin creator is. Satoshi Nakamoto could be exposed, they say, in the Florida trial, ladies and gentlemen. Time will tell. They say they can't really know who it is, but here's the deal. You got a public key and a private key in crypto, don't you know? The public key everybody knows, the blockchain everybody can see, but the private key. Oh, so all the, you know, if this is really true, the court might be able to force this gentleman, the business partner. Well, how did all those coins get created? Who's got that private key? If he could transfer even a fraction of that money somewhere else, it would prove he has the right key. Well, that's a false positive, ladies and gentlemen. How are you going to make me transact that? You can't. So I think they're barking up the wrong tree here, but this just, in my mind, proves the dishonesty of the currency from the get-go, Brian. We don't know who created it. We don't know who controls literally billions of dollars of it. We have no way of knowing. We have no way of proving it, but it's so transparent, buddy, that you can't know. See how dumb you are?
Yeah, that's right. Well,
see how dumb I am?
I can't figure out that blockchain or anything else, but, it, you know, someone, what was it, said there was all frauds eventually collapse under the weight of accumulated deceit.
That's the greatest point ever. Eldon, I want you to respond to that. All frauds, how is this now accumulated under the weight of the deceit?
Eventually collapse under the weight of accumulated deceit.
What do you say to that?
Yeah, Eldon? Eventually the truth comes out, doesn't it? That's very true.
Heard that. You know, maybe the teenage thief is the real Bitcoin creator. Maybe that's the dude that, you know, got it done.
He's the offspring. Perhaps he's the offspring of the guy that founded it.
That could be. Or it could be that it's Eldon Stahl, man. He's undercover as a field coordinator for the JBS, man. Wow. Could it be Osama bin Laden? Though maybe he's still hiding and his double got killed and he's in a rock man in LA and he's the currency creator.
Yeah.
When I just look at this stuff and you just go, really, let me tell you, the joke's on us though. This idea that you can claim it's so transparent, so stable, the best thing, better than government money. This is awesome. We don't know who created it. We'll probably never know really who created it. It'll be under speculation, kind of like the Jim Morrison death or something like that. Hey, Elvis is still alive idea. You know, we're going to go down that rabbit hole with this thing. Meanwhile, governments are going to slowly but surely have more and more and more and more and more control of this. So every time you hear something goes wrong with, quote, cryptocurrency or whatever, you find that the government's right there at the center of it, and they supposedly could nail you if they want to, but yet they can't. Look, they nailed this guy, this teenager that stole a bunch of it, got him, but yet they can't know who created it in the first place or whatever else. I'm not buying the information we're getting at all, guys. I'm just not buying it. Something is amiss. I think we're being played for suckers. I think this is a huge, masterful plan to bring us all into the digital currency age. That's what I think is happening. When you name this arena crypto.com arena, and then we're like, hey, this teenage guy got $36 million because he scammed everybody, and now we're going to have a lawsuit in Florida to find out who's the creator of Bitcoin. All these things lead to the Hegelian dialectic of really the government's the only answer to solve this, Eldon. The only answer is government. Don't you know that?
Yes, the only answer is government. It's like we're all under a trance or something. Wow, that's pretty amazing.
I mean, this is like a voodoo psychosis, Brian.
Yeah, I like the fact that all the answers are government. It seems like they're doing such a wonderful job. You know, I shake my head every time they open their mouth. And, you know, we need to fall in line. We just need to get in line and kind of follow that agenda, because eventually they'll lead us down to hell, if you ask me. I don't know. It seems that way, but sorry.
I got it figured out. Here's the deal. Yeah. I identify as Satoshi Nakamoto. So maybe I created the Bitcoin. I just didn't know it.
Yeah, there you
maybe
go.
They ought to turn it over to me. All I got to do is change my name to this guy's name, and I'm good to go, aren't I?
Yeah. It's interesting. I think some of these governments now are jumping on board, aren't they? Aren't they? These
yes, they are.
You know, some Venezuela or some of these countries want to, you know,
payment, whatever, in crypto, yeah?
Yeah, with crypto, yeah. I think that's the way they're going.
All right, well, you know what? I'm going to have to start paying Brian and Eldon for being on the show with me. I got to pay them in crypto going forward, I guess.
Yeah, okay. Wow.
What do you think? You can go ahead and be paid in crypto for all your work there, gentlemen.
I kind of like the real stuff.
There's this lady, the real stuff. You mean constitutional currency, honest money, that stuff?
I really do. I can hold it in my hand.
Amen to that. I find it fascinating about this whole thing, too, though, that everything is pointing towards crypto getting more and more and more involved in your life, though. Isn't that interesting? If governments are claiming they don't have any control of it, why does it continue just to take center stage and grow and get coverage and focus and all the... It doesn't make any sense to me. I believe it's one of the greatest scams ever.
Yeah, we're going to have big factories or whatever. Doesn't it take a huge amount of energy to create this, to mine all this stuff, from what I understand. So we have.
Yeah, now you're bringing up this reality check, Brian.
Okay,
I don't know
sorry.
Why the you're green. Doing that. I was having a great time thinking everything. I was just going to get rich on the new gold rush, and then you just ruin it with science. What the heck are you doing?
Sorry,
there's
sorry,
a big article, and I'm going to tell you what it says. You ready? Listen to this headline to kind of make Brian's so well thought out point. You ready? Check this out. Cryptocurrency faces a quantum computing problem, Brian. Do you even know what that means?
Well, I'm waiting for you to tell me.
Well, math goes on forever, right? Isn't math an infinity discussion?
Sure.
For you math experts out there, there's no end to the mathematical equations, right, gentlemen? Except for you got a technology glass ceiling going on.
Then a little math, yeah.
Right? You got a glass ceiling going on with computing power, man. Yeah. Two technologies. Maybe on a collision course, they say. You say, Sam, what are you saying? Well, you got infinite math, but then you've got a finite human-made technology. Remember how we had the Y to K problem and we couldn't cross zero, so to speak? Well, it's a little different than that, but the principles are the same in that our computing ability does not match reality. So what do you do now? Yeah, they say two cutting-edge technologies are going to collide, ladies and gentlemen. These two entire fields may be on a collision course. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, they say cryptocurrencies hold the ability to change finance, bringing down governments, eliminating the middleman. It's all good. Yeah, you'd have millions of what are called unbanked people around the world, baby. Quantum computers. Well, they can bring their extraordinary power to the process, these powerful quantum computers. Here's the problem, ladies and gentlemen. The blockchain accounting technology that powers cryptocurrencies could be vulnerable to sophisticated attacks and forge transactions if quantum computing matures faster than efforts to, quote, future-proof digital money. Yeah, did all you rocket scientists, IT get, people get that there? Make sense to you now, Brian?
Yeah, kind of. Trying to reach out, but yeah, maybe. Yeah, that could be a threat on their industry there, I guess. Huh?
Did you get all that, Eldon? All right, we'll try to get Eldon back. Let me explain this in mere English because I kind of gave you the. Oh, okay. Go ahead, Eldon. Well, you're back.
Can you hear
go
me?
Ahead, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
No, I didn't quite get all of it. A lot of times I know in scams people talk all this technical mumbo jumbo, and it just is, people kind of, the adults, we like to try to make people believe that we know what somebody's talking about because we don't want to be embarrassed in front of a crowd. But the fact is that a lot of other people don't understand what somebody's talking about either. So
that's exactly the point.
That's how
that
works.
I do this to make you guys feel like you don't know. I do this for a reason. Here's what it is. Quantum computing means you can do so many computing calculations so fast that it's going to get ahead of our ability to protect the blockchain. Let me give you an example. You're a kid and you're young, but you're smart, okay? And I have a dime and a nickel in my hand. A dime's on one side, a nickel's on the other. And I say, hey, kid, which one do you want? And the kid takes the nickel because it's bigger. And the guy that keeps, holding out a dime and a nickel and the kid that takes a nickel every time, the guy thinks, well, you know what? The kid that takes the nickel is stupid. He should be taking the dime. But the smart kid says, if I took the dime, they'd stop doing it, but I can take nickels from them forever.
That's right.
So I'm going to keep taking nickels, even though they think I'm stupid, because they're going to do it every day to show how dumb I am. But in the reality, I know the dime's more valuable, but I know the second I take a dime, they're going to go, whoa, he gets it. I'm not doing that anymore. Okay, it's a computing problem that kind of matches that reality. Cryptocurrency faces a quantum computing problem. If we have the blockchain, but we don't know how to protect it from incredible computing power that can work circles around it, we can provide so many calculations so fast that we can manipulate the blockchain, and by the time you discover it, I'm done and gone, buddy.
Good point.
Yeah, there you go. So I can create circles around the Bitcoin chain or whatever, blockchain, with all this computing power. You're still trying to mine a Bitcoin and get yourself one of these things. And I got millions of them. And I got my private key everywhere. And I can whiz bang do so many transactions. So compare it this way. You know how the big traders have the specialty privilege, fast computers at the stock market, and they do all their transactions on paper before your transaction can even go through? It's that kind of a comparison, Brian.
Yeah, there you go. Well,
kitchen table, everybody can understand it, right?
That's right. That's right. Now we better be scared. There's some scaredness going on now because...
No, you just need to have one of them quantum computers, buddy.
Oh, that's it.
We don't need to be scared.
We got
to
go buy
them. What I mean, ladies and gentlemen? It is a fool's game. And the reason it's a fool's game is because it trusts in the arm of flesh, not in God's currency, Brian.
Bingo. You got it.
Yeah, sounds like the problem with having all these machines for voting. You can multiply fraud very quickly.
Yeah, voting's got a quantum computing problem there, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right.
How it is. But don't worry, it's all transparent. Every bit's just in your face, transparent as all get out. End to end. You can see the blockchain, buddy. You can see it all. You've been schnookered. Gentlemen, thank you.
Right.
And I don't mean to make it like you guys don't understand this. I am trying to tell you, they're trying to pull the wool over the eyes of the public. In so many ways, it isn't funny. And I wanted to illustrate to you a couple of examples of how they're doing it. The reality is they're using massive computer power to deceive you into believing it's all transparent. You don't know the creator and you don't know how the transactions are happening, but it's supposedly someone tells you that it's all blockchain, you can see it all. That's the lie. Dishonesty in plain sight, ladies and gentlemen. The issue is honesty. Brian Rust, thank you so much, sir.
Great job, Sam.
RussCoinAndGift.com, ladies and gentlemen. Sam and Eldon continue. God save the Republic.